Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Oh, here's Gascoigne. Gascoigne, he can finish it here! Bill Gascoigne! 2-0!
Lampard! Yes. Brilliant!
It was in, no!
That surely crossed the line!
Oh,
it's in! It's so far in!
Thanks very much, Sepp Blatter.
Clean sheet, I call it, is one of the most important things in football.
Nice to see home fans booing you.
Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Paul Bowden to take it. Oh, and he's hit the crossbar!
Gerrard, it's Carroll! What a goal by the England striker! That's why he was brought in, and he's done the job.
Saved! John Pickford!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, he hasn't!
No!
Hit leg!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin. Will he score? I don't even remember what episode this is of our World Cup specials, but we're here anyway. I'm Chris Skull. Joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And great to see you, Tino Espria. It's Michael Marden.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you, JJ Dunning, for sending those in. Going good. Yep. We're in our first kind of, this is the first no game day we're recording this on. Today's is a weird day, isn't it? Like, no World Cup on.
So this is recorded on the first rest day.
Yeah.
Rest days are an interesting concept in a World Cup. We got an email, I can't find who it was from, but suggested that the way to stop our rest days was to form a kind of secondary tournament of teams that have been knocked out. But I would argue that there's no worse game of the third, fourth place player, let alone the eighth, ninth place playoff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got an issue even with the third place.
Did you watch the third, fourth place playoff when England were in it?
No. Yeah, I did actually. But it was on in the background. It was so on the background. I don't even remember this. You know, I wasn't really watching
it. We lost to Belgium, didn't we? Did you watch it, Michael?
I was trying to remember if I did or not, and I can't remember if I even watched it or not, which I think is worse than saying yes or no.
Like, yeah.
I have no memory of it existing.
I'd struggle to tell you the score. I'm aware of the one from 1990, but mainly because of the stories about Peter Shilton insisting he played. I think the third, fourth place playoff is only kind of celebratory if both teams feel they did as well as they could, and then it feels like a kind of lap of honour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I imagine South Korea enjoyed it in 2002, for instance.
I think it's a complete waste of time. I don't think anybody wants it to happen. I also think that an extra
What's the
time...
point?
That an extra time should just be gone from a World Cup. Go straight to penalties.
Let me jump in here. Yeah, this new thing where people are really complaining about extra time, I completely disagree with. I don't understand why people are going viciously. Alan Shearer was moaning about it the other day, saying nothing good ever happens in half time. David Platt in the last minute of extra time. Some of the great Gazza's miss is extra time, Euro 96.
Also, it's free football. It's extra World Cup football.
I just think the greater good of the 90 minutes being better by eliminating that, because nobody wants penalties, or certainly the good teams don't want penalties. I think it would just make the actual match itself superior.
Do you know what extra time's the worst ever extra time was? 1966.
What would that have gone to? Here's a question. What would have happened in 1966?
Oh, my God.
Have you noticed? I'd say the difference between us and, for instance, Guardian Football Weekly is our general role is posing the questions as to things we don't know, whereas theirs is talking at length about things they do know. I think that's how you differentiate. No one on the Guardian Football Weekly would ever say, what would have happened if it ended 2-2 in 1966? And then everyone goes, I don't know. I just don't know. What would have happened? What do you reckon? Replay?
What were they doing? Would it have gone to a replay?
Yeah, maybe.
Is there any other example? Well, hang on. Let me have a look at the tournament itself. There must have been drawn games that were drawn after extra time, no? Where are the knockout phases? How did they decide? Oh my
God.
There
weren't a lot of teams back then. So.
Yeah, it probably went straight to quarterfinals.
Everything's kind of decided in 90 minutes through the tournament.
That's suspicious, isn't it?
Except the final, which goes to extra time.
Maybe that's why they gave the goal, because they knew come full time, they wouldn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, every single knockout game was a straight result.
And then I'm just looking now at the 62 World Cup. And everything is decided in that World Cup within 90 minutes as well.
What about the 1970 World Cup?
I'm going back to 58 because I'm slightly worried. I'm slightly worried that if I go forward, we're going to see penalties emerge.
No, they didn't have penalties in 1970.
This is unbelievable. In 1958, every match is decided in 90
were
minutes.
There no draws in the past.
What is going on? Have we unearthed a massive conspiracy? I'm back
There's
to
a conspiracy. There was no draws before the mid 70s. So there was no draws in 1970. Michael,
stage.
Fill time here because this is... We're going to get... I feel like we're Woodward and Bernstein.
Well, I've scrolled ahead to 74 just to divide the workload.
And?
But while he does that, I'm in 54 World Cup. Of all the knockout matches, only one goes... Everything is decided in 90 minutes except for one match, which is Hungary 4, Uruguay 2, in extra time.
Yeah, but that's in extra time, so that's fine.
Yeah, so there's one,
hold on,
that's
hold
fine.
On, hold on,
it?
Here we go. So I'm in the 74 World Cup. The third place playoff was the first match in FIFA World Cup history in which a penalty shootout could potentially be held.
Well, that was 74.
Yeah. So what would have happened prior
to that? Were
they
just trialling it for the third place playoff then?
So apparently if the teams remained tied in the final after extra time, a replay would be held. So it would have been a replay prior to that.
Hold on.
All previous World Cup tournaments... The drawing of lots had been foreseen in this situation to split the teams. Basically,
wow.
I mean, I'm reading this on the fly from
a
Wikipedia
come down to the toss
page.
Of a coin.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, really, we're in this position right now where we're the first people that have discussed this since 1966, that it should have gone to the toss of a coin. Yeah, well, so, but have you got a coin on your skull?
I've just gone exactly, I've just found the exact... Actually, it's written in the 1966 FIFA World Cup Wikipedia page that it would have... Every game bar the final would have been drawn by lots after extra time.
And what would the final have been?
But the final would have been a replay after extra time. And then if it was still tied in the replay after extra time, then it's getting drawn, you're drawing lots.
Okay, well, do you feel those teams are perfectly matched?
Yeah.
To play out the sliding doors moment, had the goal not been given, should we toss a coin now to see who should have won the 1966 World Cup?
Bobby Moore is going heads all day long.
Could we have some kind of... Yeah. Bobby Moore's going for heads for Queen and Country. Has anyone got a fucking... 2022, there isn't even a coin, let alone the toss of a fucking coin.
I've got a coin. I've just
You've got
a coin.
Coin. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to be Bobby Moore then, Skull?
Yeah. Heads. Okay. He'd go heads because the Queen's on it. And he's... Yeah, man
well,
of his country.
I don't know if this is going to inform your opinion, but it is a 50-cent euro coin, so the Queen is not on it.
Yeah, it'll still go heads.
Okay, you going heads?
Quite nervous. Can we have some kind of like some appropriate music under this?
Here we go. Is this best of one, best of three?
Yeah, best of one. Best of one.
Best of one. Okay. England have lost the World Cup.
Oh, no!
West Germany are the champions.
Oh, no!
Do you know what, though? That's so disappointing. Why didn't they not just go, you will share it? Do you know what I mean? Rather than...
You're already picking over the issues straight away. So, I blame Alf Ramsey. I don't think he was attacking enough.
Can you imagine it? The footage of that, like, England win the World Cup on a coin toss. People would say...
it's not a real World Cup win, wouldn't they? And I think I would feel like that.
Yes, I think
you could have half a star on your shirt instead of a full one.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you like to revisit all of England's penalty shootout defeats in major tournaments via the toss of a coin?
I think we could save that for our next week when England are out and we've got to really fill time in our podcast.
Yeah, look forward to the coin toss World Cup.
Yeah, shall we? That would be an absolutely great day, the coin toss World Cup. Shall we have some correspondence?
I'm Jim Rosenthal, and this is the Electronic Postbag.
You've got mail.
I've got one here. It's about Lee Dixon's beef. You might remember you raised that Lee Dixon might have had beef with Matterface, was it?
Yeah, and do you know what? Some friends of ours have been saying, like, yeah, no, they've got beef.
Have they got beef?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
well,
it's
watch this clip. This is Lee Dixon during the Euro 2012. And what happens is Lee Dixon speaking, and then Alan Shearer cuts across him, but they stay on the wide shot of the three people. And so, Chris, if you could just commentate on this as you watch it, that'd be ideal. And we will, as we say, put it on our Instagram.
Well, I think all possession was better today, but they gave a lot of...
Okay, Lee Dixon's talking, obviously.
I thought they struggled a little bit.
Quite tightly sat with Alan Shearer next to him.
I think overall, you have to look at their positioning on the pitch and say, Gerrard rules that. I think John Terry at the back pushing up and Gerrard, they're the key to how England play. And obviously up front you've got Rooney, but I think that's the key. Their tempo is set.
I still think at times, without doubt, there's still improvement to be made.
Ooh.
Most teams in this competition.
Ooh. So Alan Shearer cuts over the top of him and Lee Dixon just gives a bit away emotionally there. You just see a little bit... A moment of rage.
And Lee Dixon turns to Gary Lineker and gives a kind of look like, come on, mate. Like a kind of, how's that not a free kick? He gives a look to Gary Lineker, presuming he's been caught, not on camera, that says, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
I was just making a point.
To be fair to Shearer, Dixon was fumbling around there.
He was going nowhere.
I think Shearer was trying to do him a favour, chucking him a life buoy. It's like, all right, he's losing the thread here. I'm going to jump in.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I felt Lee Dixon's point, even 10 years on, Lee Dixon's point that England's spine is Terrard, Jerry, and maybe Rooney, is not analysis. And I say that as a huge fan of Lee Dixon.
Yeah, he's not interrupted the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah. You just said Terrard, which I presume is Terry and Stephen Gerrard merged into one human
being. What I called them, England's spine, Terrard.
Like Optimus Prime.
It is interesting because you don't imagine that there is beef going on. Obviously there is
beef. And I bet they're watching each other and commenting on their performance and, you know, I bet it's quite the snake pit. Also, how young does Alan Shearer look in that clip? Like, you don't realise how much he's aged. But so it is 10 years ago.
Well, both Dixon and Shearer must have been pretty close, pretty new at that point, mustn't they?
Do you know who I thought is definitely going to be a pundit? Jordan Henderson. I would lay my life on that. He's so ITV pundit material. Euro 2024, he'll be there in the studio.
He'll be on the bloody pitch, mate. I think my favourite pundit I saw last night, I think Nigel de Jong is excellent.
Do you know what Nigel de Jong gives off the aura that he's really annoyed to be there? Do you know, like he doesn't feel like he's impressed at all to be a pundit. He's so
low energy, but quite good, very natural.
Yeah, there's just pure insight.
He's not any way overawed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I get the feeling Nigel de Jong doesn't even realise he's on TV sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very calm in presence.
Yeah, there we go. I think we did so much chat at the top, we should just do that one email. Because basically...
Well, can I ask about an email?
Oh, yeah, go on.
You've let me loose on the inbox, yeah, and I think I've got a good one.
Okay, go on, hit me.
This is from Nathan Lord. He says, it's not a World Cup-related email, but it does involve famous fathers and footballers' sons. And one team has taken the Regen project to a whole new level, a club side. Do you know who I'm about to talk about?
No.
Stoke City... have on their books right now.
Oh, well, let me guess. They've got Delap's son, haven't they?
Liam Delap, son of famous ball lobber Rory Delap. Tyrese Campbell, son of Kevin Campbell.
Nice.
DiMaggio Wright Phillips, the son of Sean Wright Phillips, and therefore the grandson of Ian Wright.
And the nephew of Bradley Wright Phillips.
And they've just recently let go Tom Ince, who was the son, of course, interlegend Paul Ince. They sold Tom Ince to Reading. Which is also another interesting point about this. All of those players I just mentioned, the sons of all those players, all forwards, which adds even more fuel.
So Josh's
nepotism makes you a striker fire.
Yeah. And
then there is still more. Stoke currently have Phil Jagielka playing for them, who has played against every single one of their current players' dads,
where they're
footballers.
Please.
And even played at the same time, although briefly, as one of their grandfathers.
What, Ian Wright? Yes.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible.
Surely there is no team taking nepotism as seriously as this. I would say no other player in the world can say he has played at the same time as one of his teammates' grandparents. P.S. It's coming home, Nathan. Well, great email.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Have you seen that amazing footage of Kasper Schmeichel and Tom Ince playing footballers, like toddlers, in the hallway of Old Trafford?
Oh, no.
It's so great. They're just having a little kick around, like two mates. I think you can hear Alex Ferguson in the background, but Kasper's a little goal.
Are they good?
I mean, they're too young to know, but Kasper is sort of playing in goal like you would in the hallway of your home with your mate. It's absolutely adorable.
Do you know what's mad about that clip is? It's in that really famous bit of Old Trafford, like, because it's not quite a tunnel, is it? It's like the angle of the corner of the stand, and it's like, you know, there's like dressing rooms either side, and there's a big red kind of iron gate behind it.
So why are there fucking kids in the tunnel on match day?
Well, I'm guessing it must be hours beforehand, or maybe after the match.
Yeah.
Amazing. But isn't it weird that Kasper's in goal there? Like, even at that age. I mean, he's literally bred to be a goalkeeper, isn't he? There can't have been anyone with a better placed. He's got the right gene pool, exactly the right kind of place in the world to become a top-class goalkeeper.
Is Kasper our only option for our son's team in goal? Like, it doesn't seem like it happens very often.
Where does Angus Gunn?
Yeah.
Does Angus Gunn play in goal?
Yeah, he's floated around. He was at Southampton. I think he might have been at City for a little bit.
Yeah, he was at City, yeah. But he's back at Norwich. I mean, that's mad. He plays for Norwich. Not only is he playing the same position as his dad, he's playing for the same club.
And is he in the first team?
He's played 17 games this season, so...
There you go. Once again, our lack of information is absolutely unrivaled. Well, there we go. If you want to get in touch about any of these topics, this is how.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list @quicklykevin.com.
Now, what we haven't talked about in this World Cup really is memorabilia. You're a memorabilia fan, aren't you, Michael?
Fan is a nice way of putting it. I'd say probably a problematic obsessive is more realistic.
Have you bought any Qatar World Cup memorabilia?
No, I haven't bought a single item, or I haven't even collected for free a single piece of paraphernalia from this World Cup.
You haven't bought anything with Laib, I don't know how it's pronounced, likeness on the mascot, who I actually think isn't one of the worst things about the World Cup, but we'll come to that. Obviously, it's been a great year for memorabilia. It's been a superb year for memorabilia because Steve Hodge has set up his family by selling the Diego Maradona shirt for £6 million, I think it was. And This made us think, what would be your favourite piece of memorabilia of a World Cup previously that you could bought? A one-off piece of memorabilia. So we put this to some Quickly Kevin regulars, and these are the things they chose.
The England, it'd have to be Italia 90, of course, but it would be an England shell suit, an authentic. The England shell suit is one of the most beautiful pieces of football attire ever created. So to have an authentic squad shell suit, obviously for me, it'd have to be Steve Ball, his authentic England shell suit from Italia 90. Yes, please.
For niche memorabilia, what about the yellow cards that Graham Pohl used to book the same Croatian player three times in the 2006 World Cup? That'd be a really lovely thing to have hanging up somewhere, framed in your house. Really good topic of conversation. Admittedly, quite boring conversation about an administrative error.
Now, the niche bit of World Cup memorabilia that I would go for, which I'm aware no one else would have any interest in, which makes me think I probably could actually buy them for like £200 if I sent out a few emails, would be... remember that Mexican player, Blanco? He used to do this trick in France 98 where he'd put the ball between his feet and hop between defenders. I was obsessed with it at school, and I'd just do that over and over and over in the playground, try and fail. I would want Blanco's boots. That's what I want. It's not much to ask for, and I think it's perfectly achievable.
I would like to own the PK Mexico 86 full mascot outfit to wear to local spin classes.
The Italia 90 Fiat Panda that was on eBay a few years ago for a few grand, about £3,500. My dad sold them. I've talked about this on your podcast before. My dad sold them, and I think it was one of the ones my dad sold. I wish I'd bought that. I learned to drive in a Fiat Panda. I love Fiat Pandas, an Italia 90 Fiat Panda, even more with football wheels. Unbelievable.
In terms of memorabilia, if I could have anything, I would love to have the original initial drawings, the sketches of Ciao, the mascot for Italia 90, because I don't know why, but I absolutely love that mascot. It to me, it just sums up football. Failing that, obviously, you know, a Wales shirt from the 58 World Cup, or just probably a limitless supply of those Coca-Cola cup balls, World Cup balls from Italia 90, because this was great to play with in the living room.
There you go. You've got to be happy with some of them, Michael.
Yeah, loved it. Particular shout out to Charlie Baker for Italia 90 Ciao Fiat Panda, a man after my own heart.
Would you drive one of them in your day? I mean, I know you can't drive. If were you to be able to drive, would you drive one in your day-to-day life?
No, I think that would be a bit embarrassing. I was thinking about this. A friend of ours is getting married soon, and I had to dig out a tie for my suit. And I found amongst it, I've got an Italia 90 tie. Oh, it's got like tiny little chows stitched onto it.
Yeah.
And I thought, can I wear this? Should I wear this? Or is it like a...
Yes.
Well, the answer is obviously yes, but like, would you wear it regularly, like a kind of novelty piano tie, or do you become just a bit of a joke figure? My personality is my tie or my wacky haircut.
Yeah.
And I think that car would be a bit like that. I'd probably only take it out three or four times a year as a little bit of fun, but I wouldn't want people to think, oh, here comes Michael in his wacky car.
Yeah, well, if anyone's got one going, do email in. And we'll try and we would buy one. We would definitely buy it.
100% I will buy it, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I'll overpay for it.
Okay, that's good. There's your offer. There is your offer. And if any audience is going to have one, I suppose it's ours. Or an Italian one, I suppose, would be. If there's an Italian 90s football podcast, if you listen to that as well, do see if they'll put the shout out for it. So, England versus France on Saturday. Well.
Well, look, the first thing you need to be doing is asking what my opinion is, because so far I've been right about almost everything about this World Cup. I refer specifically to the fact, last podcast, I said there's going to be a shock here. Spain-Morocco, that side of the draw, it's not going to go how people think.
I'm afraid that's all you get of this episode. To get the full episode, head over to the Quickly Kevin fan club. It's anotherslice.com/QuicklyKevin. There's over 5,000 minutes of extra Quickly Kevin content to be had, including an exclusive episode this month with Big Sam Allardyce. To join the Quickly Kevin fan club, head over to anotherslice.com/QuicklyKevin.
Hit legs over the top.